Hello and welcome to Blind Bargains 563. Wait. That's how many files we have on the site, actually, under the podcast section. But episode 125 of the Blind Bargains cast coming right at you.
It's a round number.
It is. It's a very nice accomplishment number.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've made it through Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Hope you got some deals. We hosted some
Blind
over,
Friday.
Blind Friday. Oh yeah, right. The two shows last week, in case you've missed them. And while not all the deals are still there, some of them still are. The Hymns ones still are, right? Through the end of the year.
Yeah, so, all the way until the end of 2017.
Tastic. Yeah. Hymns-tastic. You can catch that. And of course, the Blind Bargains holiday cast. Some of those deals are still going on. And even the deals that are not, you can still learn about a lot of cool businesses and companies that are out there. So go back and check out the two shows from last week instead of just
flash
one.
Sales. I saw on Cyber Monday flash sales from AT guys. That was cool.
Yeah, you got to follow us on Twitter for some of that stuff, or on Facebook to catch the flash deals. But there'll still be more, so you can do twitter.com/AT guys for that and go on Blind Bargains as well. Otherwise, you missed. There was a KNFB reader sale that's just ended and a few others. But hey, you know, some other deals are coming up. Have you, by the way, what do we have? First of all, Raul Gallegos is coming up a little bit later on. Fantastica, which is a program I have not used, but maybe I should. I've heard a lot of good things about. It's a calendar program on the Apple side, and he's going to tell us about it, including me, because I have not used it. And maybe we could use a calendar so we can actually have a consistent showtime.
Yeah, and it is fairly easy to use across Apple devices, including the Apple Watch. So that might be good for those of us who need to keep track of things. Mm-hmm. We're doing that right now with the teenager, so maybe that'll be perfect.
There you
and
go.
And we also have, of course, something food related in the last word that never happens. Now.
Is that yours? And, no, mine is not food related. So I guess we have not picked the same.
Must be cats,
story.
Music.
Nope. Nope.
Those are three categories that usually happen in the last word.
None of those things. Huh? It's travel related.
What? People might be traveling this holiday season. That's impossible. I surprise myself at your amazingness at being topical as well as
mm-hmm.
The last word is one thing, but sound off, a lot
lots
of stuff.
Of sound off. There's a pile of it that's come in since our last show. And I have one other thing here that I'm going to try right now. Have you had Soylent before?
No, I've heard about it.
Well, they've had several different forms, and some of it's tasted kind of chalky, but now they've kind of moved into this Soylent ready-to-drink stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I figure I'm just traveling a lot.
You're
going to
do that right here live, huh?
I'm going to do it right here.
Right here live? Okay.
I don't know what flavor that is. This is like, it really... It tastes like
people
a generic...
People flavor. Soylent Green is people. Oh, wait. No, that might have been Soylent Green.
It kind of tastes like people. It's a very generic drink. The reason you would drink something like Soylent is because it gives you a completely balanced set of nutrients. So for someone like me who's traveling a lot lately, I thought maybe we'd try that instead of all this fast food. So
I like that idea. Remember Carnation breakfast bars and Carnation... I saw it the other day in the Instacart where I saw there was Carnation instant breakfast. I was like, I haven't tried that since college. I hope it has changed.
It's the most generic flavor. Wow. I don't know how to describe this. Like, it just tastes...
It's not vanilla, French vanilla.
You can buy that.
Something or other.
It just tastes generic. It's not bad. It's not great. It's just...
It's like the generic soda.
There.
that's their new slogan. Soylent. It's just there.
It's something.
So we got all that and, of course, the news. But before we get started, sadly, this seems to be a regular occurrence. And I'm going to try and get through this without tearing up because this one's a really hard one for me personally. We have to mourn the passing of Richard Cavallaro, who is a longtime listener of this program as well as many of the programs JJ and I and Patrick have done over the years. He was a really good listener. And I don't mean that in that he listened to this program. He was a good listener in that he would hear things and just be able to give you some great insight. And I always thought it was great that he, like myself, had done some state service. He had just started a new job on the East Coast, and he was really excited about that, as well as his new iPhone X. And he is one of those people that was very good with technology, just had a good sense about it. And I remember, and probably this is my favorite, is just him walking up to Earl Harrison's booth at NFB a couple of years ago. And after he had given me some insight of 5 podcasts I had done and 2 of them I had forgotten, he just then laid his fingers on a keyboard that Earl had out and just started playing Billy Joel, his favorite, and just could do it on command. And I for one, will miss Richard's wit. We have a link in the show notes to the Piano Man Fund, which is a GoFundMe for a scholarship set up by his family. If you know anything about Rich Caballero, definitely check this link out that we have at the show notes in Blind Bargains.
Definitely another one gone way, way too soon. So very sad news, and we're definitely thinking of his family and everyone that he touched. And man, it's been a rough year. Just has been a rough year.
It has, and we just passed the Rick Reed's birthday. Yeah. And I was thinking back to that, which kind of hit me as well. So many good people who were doing things for advocacy. And I think that's really what's crazy, is that they were very much out in the public eye and good conversationalists about technology. That's just crazy. I must have read it 3 times when I saw the first tweets about it. He was one of the first people that wished Ricky and I well when everything went down a couple of years ago. And he was one of the first people that jumped up and wished us well on this program. He just was very savvy and a good supporter, the same way that Chris was, Toonhead.
Yep.
It's just crazy that someone so young could pass so quickly. So there's a bug going around, and we actually fought it in October. Mika's actually fighting a bad sickness right now too. Don't let this stuff stay with you for a long time. If you have the means and the ability to go see a doctor, you should. My father passed of walking pneumonia. This was respiratory related for Richard. If you feel incredibly sick and you feel like you have been sick for an inordinate amount of time, you need to go see a doctor, because these bugs can really get you.
Yep, better to be safe. Absolutely. So we're definitely thinking of Rich and his family, and all we can do, I guess, is remember and move forward. So no transition. I'm not going to transition from this.
No, not really.
No.
We'll just move into the first story here, which is a big one. ACB is going to sue Hulu. Or at least has already said that they are going to. Many of you might have heard that Hulu's existence on iOS has gotten worse and worse and worse. And it has. I'm actually using Hulu on tvOS through Apple TV mostly. Otherwise, I would have canceled like so many other blind people have. But it's not just that. The fact that there are some amazing shows showing up, like Marvel's Runaways, as well as The Handmaid's Tale and the new Stephen King series, those are all on Hulu, and they're not described. So the idea here is that ACB is moving, unfortunately, the legal clock forward in order to try and get Hulu to move into the same realm as other places like Amazon and Netflix.
Oh, ACB does lawsuits too. Oh, okay. It's a common misnomer in this.
It's a litigious community we are.
I didn't, thought it was just the other guys.
Although that meeting room of blind lawyers at the NFB is getting bigger every time I go to convention. I'm just saying.
Yeah, probably definitely one that needs to be done. I don't usually do lawsuit posts on the website, in part because it would overwhelm the news page. But I'm glad we're bringing this one up here, because, now there has been a bit of a precedent with Netflix doing a lot of their catalog, Amazon at least starting to. Hulu is the next biggest one that hasn't been, and they're not the only one that hasn't.
They got Disney money. They just spent like $100 million. Right,
and they're not the only ones that aren't. I mean, there are certainly Hulu many. Live. There are many other targets, so. But, partly I think you do this to make an example out of a company and try to set a precedent.
Sure, but if you're going to say the ABC, NBC, CBS of streaming, those are American television networks, just for some type of parallel here, I would say Hulu was there. I think you would put Amazon Video, Netflix, and Hulu in the same breath.
Exactly. So we'll keep on following this one. And, you know, there's many other similar websites, and the communications, the Video Accessibility Act, CVAA. And I might have butchered the acronym now.
I'm glad you remembered that.
That thing. Butchered it. It's a little more vague, I think, on streaming services and things like that. It's very clear when it comes to TV and cable. But is that act written well enough to survive more modern technologies, even things like cable on the web?
And because Hulu Live and YouTube TV, all of that, does that mean that they fall under some of that now? Or do they lean more towards streaming? I mean, how would you categorize that? That's a really good question. I hadn't thought about that until you said it.
Well, if you're a lawyer and you want to give us a pro bono answer.
call Tim Elder if we need Tim. We need our legal correspondent. I need a ruling on how to say this. ActiveView? Sounds like a bad transformer. ActiveView. All right. ActiveView is a application that is available for your mobile device that will allow you to sync up with movies and hear their audio description without, if you say you're at a movie theater that does not offer it. At the time of this recording, Coco, the number one film in the United States, beating out Justice League, actually has audio description through this app. I've not used it personally. It reminds me of a lot of other services that have done this in the past.
Solo DX, that was the one. I mean, they're gone now, but that was like, they were the first to try.
And then they kind of
sort of
got bought up by Disney, and they were doing something like that through Disney movies. But I don't think that this is the same thing. So interesting that this is available. Thank you, Dean, over at Top Doc. And I lifted this particular link. But
these things kind of blend together. At least it looks like we covered it briefly once. I have to go back to see what we said about it. episode 105.
But
105 was not a year ago.
Was it not? What's the date on it?
105. It's only 20 episodes ago.
Wow, it feels
June 19th, no, right before convention.
Oh, crud.
We do more than 20 episodes in a year, Joe.
Okay, good.
Sometimes
so I'm going on vacation next week, and maybe that'll clear my brain. Oh, this is good. I'm setting a good example. That's great. Canopy Reader is off sale. If you didn't have an opportunity to grab that at half off, well, maybe you just want to hang around and see what happens when we get closer to CSUN, because that's usually when it tends to go on sales around those times, unless I just jinxed it for everybody. However, you could get Canopy Reader for free if you're on Sprint.
I'm not laughing at the Canopy. Actually, that's a really cool deal for, I mean, it's actually really cool for a mainstream. I just don't like Sprint service at all. It's a really cool deal for a mainstream. I guess they're not going to sponsor us.
I'm on the Cadillac of cellular telephones. I'm on
guess
Verizon.
I just, they aren't sponsoring us now. It actually is really cool for a mainstream company to throw in an accessibility offering. I don't know if that negates any other deals that they're doing, like if it's that or something else, but it is still cool for a mainstream company.
They do come to convention, though. Sprint was at
it's a really good idea. And why
the last
not?
Couple of years.
And why not? It's a very interesting promotional play. KNFB Enterprise is pretty much the same as the regular KNFB. Actually, depending on how much you pay, you can do it on more than one device. So that is the way to go. Don't do like I did and buy it on the iPhone and then buy it on the Android and buy it on Windows. Thankfully, I got the Android and Windows for both for $20 a piece.
I was about to say, I'm right behind you on this. Okay.
Right. Yep. But I mean, now if you have multiple devices or multiple operating systems, especially, then you can get KNFB Reader Enterprise and do it that way.
You forgot a platform. You said you had an N82.
Yeah, but that was separate. You cannot use KNFB Reader Enterprise on your Nokia N82.
No.
No. Okay. It will not. Although somebody was selling that N82 on a classified for $100 a couple weeks ago, and probably still available.
Dude,
it's a good deal for what
we call it lenses, the polarizers. Oh, those were cool. The original NFB Canopy Reader. Do you remember that? It was announced in Dallas, and it was the was it a Dell or what was it? It was a PDA that was connected to the phone. You had two separate devices with two separate battery packs.
Yeah, so there was two. There was an A model and a B model. There was one that used a Dell, a Zim, and one that used an HP. I believe the B model, I guess, is what you would call it. actually was the slightly better of the two, although they didn't really differentiate too much. Battery
Life was better from what I remember.
Yeah, but they were both sold as the KNFB reader, $3,500. And then, of course, the Nokia comes out that was Washington Seminar 2008, which...
Yeah, because I remember seeing the N82 in Detroit at convention. And
was it 2008? Yeah. Or 2009?
Yeah, it was about 2000...
No, it might have been 2009.
Yeah, maybe it was 2009, because I think it was the same year as the first Book Sense.
And it was one of the first things that we really covered in audio form on Blind Bargains. We actually did
one of the 562 audios that exist already. Oh, that's
is great. That why you were thinking numbers? Okay.
No, I was just looking at numbers before we came in.
There's other OCR options. Envision AI. Remember that thing we talked about a couple months ago?
Yeah, I actually poo-pooed that, and then Ricky made me look really silly in the house, and now I have to retract what I said about it, because apparently it works really, really good. But I'm trying to figure out if that's because I listed mine as having partial vision, and she listed hers as being totally blind. So I'm still playing around
with that.
Yes, it's part of the little let's get to know more about you. It's one of the little weird things at the beginning.
Interesting.
And so there's now new version. I want to sit down and uninstall it and then reinstall it. What I'm interested in, and you can write us a feedback at blindbargains.com, is she was using it the other day to scan some things out of the freezer, and it popped up a box that said, "How much would you be interested in paying for Envision AI?"
Yes. It looks like they're thinking about a subscription model. I'm looking at some posts on Apple Vis as well, that they're looking at that for the future. They did release with a couple of new updates, more for the immediate text recognition, i.e. seeing AI and more languages. Yeah,
so it does work a lot like seeing AI now.
Well, you know, hey, so it's good to see they're going to have to, with seeing AI out there, or people that already have KNFB Reader or something else, they're going to have to do something good to make it worth a subscription.
But they're going to have to do something that's better than seeing AI for those who have it now in the markets that it is in, because Microsoft can afford to have those servers and pay that bandwidth, where these guys got to keep the lights on.
How do you value your time? I had a pile that was kind of mounting of like 100, 200 pieces of mail, and I started running through the scanner and running through CAI. It was doing okay. And then I called up Ira and got the whole thing clear in like 20 minutes. I mean, I'm like, okay, let's just get this out of here. I had a big grocery bag, went out to recycling today. So, you know, there's lots of different ways.
And then we get back to that debate we had a few shows ago. I'm not about to count and make myself look silly for a second time, but look at the conversation we had about security and privacy. And this is happening on device, on-prem versus having somebody read it and having it recorded and kept forever and ever.
Oh yeah, definitely. Lots of things like that going on with security.
How options, are we segueing? Lots
how
and
are
lots
you
of options.
Segueing to this? Do you have anything?
Well, you know, there are all sorts of ways that you could say that security comes into playing into things and scanning. You could certainly get the KNFB reader for Android and scan with the Braille Note Touch, just like you can on certain other devices that we heard about recently. Yeah, it was. You're not. No lie. I will freely. I mentioned I'm going on vacation soon, so that way. No, I'm kidding. So the Braille Note Touch has an update, and you're going to be able to do some graphing stuff.
Yes, lots of graphing. You can type in graph functions and have them show up on the screen for your teacher. Oh, yippee. You can connect it to an enabling embosser. Oh, by the way, HumanWare is the distributor for enabling embossers now. So you can have them printed. You can have them represented somehow on a Braille display. The cool part about all this, of course, not surprised that HumanWare is going all in on math. Not a surprise at all, given the market for the touch.
Education, cool money, gotcha, yep.
Did you see how this all happened, though, the partnership?
No, sir. Please tell me.
Desmos. Remember Desmos? Stephen Clower's working over there. That's a mainstream company that we interviewed at CSUN. That's been doing all this stuff with graphs and accessibility and has some web-based tools that are free. That's how this all happened. So it's a really cool partnership that I'm sure Stephen had something to do with, and the other people over there between them and HumanWare.
That is a real compelling market between what Blackboard is doing, what Pearson is doing, and now this. That is fantastic to hear, because maybe this would have helped me with math a long time ago. It may help people moving into math type jobs and decisions later in life, which I think is really cool. One of the things that I am looking forward to playing with is an update to NVDA when I get back, old folks like me don't have to worry about Vista and XP anymore, it seems like, JJ, in this next update.
Hey, you can read interactive math elements and math type in Kindle books. There you go. There's your segue.
Your reach was better than mine there.
Lots of browse mode stuff, of course. Initial support, this is a tiny little bullet point, but keep this bookmarked. Initial support for Windows 10 and ARM 64 devices.
What? Oh, yeah.
So those that opens up some different portables and things like that. In other words, you know, types of computers where a screen reader wouldn't run in the past. There's a free ebook reader called Azardi.
Okay.
Some more Microsoft Edge support. And yes, as you said, XP and Vista are gone, as they should be at this point, honestly. I mean, it's you can only support the old ones for so long, and then it kind of hampers your development if you have to keep coming, you know, going back and supporting the old stuff. So, you know, at some point, you got to move on from that. Microsoft ended XP support, of course, a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's not like you can't use it anymore. It's just stick with 2017.3. It's a perfectly functioning version of NVDA.
Just never connect it to the web ever again. Never again.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll be totally fine. Not even if you were going to write a letter to Santa, should you turn that back on. You know, writing a letter in Braille to Santa and getting a letter back in Braille? Super cool.
Hey, sorry, Joe, you have to be under 10.
Oh, okay.
But if you happen to know someone who is, the annual NFB Letters to Santa program where NFB has some elves that are helping out Mr.
You know,
Mrs.
I did
Claus.
That when I was a kid, and the letter I got back was in German somehow. Does anybody know why?
Google Translate way back then? No.
I happen to, the only reason I know that is because I happen to know someone that read Braille and could read German, and he was like, yeah.
Did you ask for a German something?
I don't remember doing that. I was 6 years old. What do I know?
Claus, not Klaus. Claus.
Yeah, I don't know if that was. I wonder if that was. Yeah, totally. That might have been a different. I wonder if that's a different Santa. I mean, different helper.
It broke.
And you could definitely check these things out when you walk through the airport and use a kiosk to make sure that you are not going to Germany yourself, or at least maybe just your mail.
Hey, it's our survey of the week.
Yay!
Didn't know if we'd have one until somebody kindly posted a survey over on Reddit.
Feels odd without one.
A lot of these come from Reddit, which is great.
That's true.
It's a, he said he couldn't say too much, but he said it's from a Belgium company. He's consulting with them and working on said survey. Yes, check-in kiosks. There are some promises from some airlines to make these accessible over the next couple of years. I have not seen an accessible one yet. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody else has. I mean, honestly, you know, it's again with the technology and how it is. If there were accessible ones, I wouldn't know about them because I usually check in on my phone. So,
yes, I am with you. I am so good at having that barcode on the phone and handing it over to TSA. And oh, dude, yeah. I can't even begin to tell you. I don't know, man. It is one of those things where it used to be difficult to go through the boarding process or buying tickets online or having access to all that because some of it was still paper. Like you would go in and they would still print it out for you. I mean, you would literally have it, the electronic documents and stuff, and they would, no, at this airport, it's just better we go ahead and get your boarding pass here at the desk, and then they're going to hand them paper at TSA, and then you'll go through. But that is not the case I've had in the last year and a half.
You used to use
sure.
your KNFB. It was like the great day that I could use my KNFB reader to read my seat number and boarding group, which, of course, now you just, again, do on your phone. You don't need the KNFB reader for that anymore, but that was an exciting thing for about a year or two when we were in kind of in that mid phase of still having paper boarding passes, especially at the smaller airports. And
if you hook it through something like Google, if you feel comfortable doing so, of course, but if you hook that through Google, like a Google search app on iOS, on Android, or use Inbox or even Gmail, that stuff shows up automatically on your phone and it's just right there and it sends you reminders and super, super helpful. You can even tie it into Google Home where you can ask, should I leave for the airport now? And it will tell you, you know, hey, this is the time you should get your
lift
now
because traffic is
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I've had that one too, actually. It's, okay. But that's really helpful. And if it changes, and I've had this happen, and I bet you have too, Jay, you're in the air and the gate moved. You know, before sometimes even the flight crew because it shows up on your phone, or you land and it's already telling you that it's not B23, it's B17.
I always check. And you can usually with the flights that have free internet, or not free internet, but internet, you can always get to the airline website for free, and you can check that before you land. Or a lot of times the airline apps will not be blocked either. Apparently, so at least the last few times I've flown, Amazon is also not blocked. That's So if you're on a GoGo flight and you just want to buy stuff,
that sounds too tempting. You're stuck in an enclosed space, surrounded by people. Nothing better to do than shop. Eep. That's how SkyMall was.
Hey, it's
born.
Better than the old Skets. I was gonna say it's better than the old SkyMall. At least you have all of Amazon. Yeah. It's a little better catalog to shop on.
This is true. It's all a bit of a game, though. You know, when you think about it.
Yeah. You really? Uh-huh. Are you on main menu every week now?
It feels like it, doesn't it? Randy and Jason needed somebody to talk about gaming, and they gave me a ring because somehow they figured out that I knew something about gaming. I don't know where they got this impression, but they thought I knew something about gaming. So I was on main menu talking to Peter and Russ about a new audio framework, which is, in a nutshell, it's kind of like choose your own adventure audio, kind of like what we've heard from Codename Cygnus and other things, Multipath, which is another great iOS app where you can do a choose your own adventure kind of thing. And this is a framework that you'll be able to use and program and even use voices that you'll be able to do. Like if you can't get a hold of voiceover talent, you can actually set certain voices to do the reading of these pathways to give your own adventure. It's like a big plug-in adventure. Now, the first one they're going to do is based off of a historical event, but it's kind of a mixture between a historical reenactment and a choose your own adventure, as well as they're hoping that this would be used in other settings like a museum. So you could walk up to a certain artifact in a museum and have audio of the time playing or something that would invoke the setting that you're in and convey more information along with a description or narration of what you're looking at. So this was really interesting. It's something that's going to come out in May 2018, and their hope is to do mobile first, then eventually more things like PC, Mac, and eventually game consoles, because they have some game console backgrounds amongst the developers. But give this a listen. Also, Debbie Hazelton is there, and she's got some information as well about a caregiving service. And Jason appears as well to describe some things. So main menu, and here's a link in the show notes. If you are not listening, ACB main menu appears on ACB Radio on Fridays as far as new episodes go.
Awesome. Coming up, we have a review right up in the next minute or so from Raul Gallegos on Fantastical. That's fantastic. I love it. And of course, that tip, I don't even know what you're doing for tip. Sound off and lots of sound off and some last word. Travel. And you said yours is food. There you go. More food.
Food.
Food. Totally food. Oh, coming up after Patrick does an ID or something. I don't know. Right. This is Blind Bargains Cast 125.
It's time to clean out your closet and make some dough. Sell your used tech and more on the Blind Bargains Classifieds. Go to blindbargains.com and select Classifieds to learn more.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Stacy Hardy, and I'm here with Raul Gallegos. And together we make up RGA Tech Solutions. We are based out of Houston, Texas, and we provide assistive technology training to individuals really all over the country, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Ranging from things such as eye devices to screen readers to braille displays.
Screen dimmed.
We do many things. So today, what we are going to demonstrate is one of my favorite apps called Fantastical. This is a calendar app that is very user-friendly. And when you are very busy like we are, if you don't have a calendar, you are going to find yourself in a world of trouble.
So before you do that, why would I want to use a separate calendar app when the iPhone already has a calendar app?
Well, what I like about this app is you can have access to many different calendars. So we have different calendars on which we schedule different appointments. I personally like the user interface of fantastical over the calendar app that's on the phone.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion. So,
fantastical.
I'm going to open up Fantastical.
Fantastical. Settings. Button. Go to today. Button. Okay.
So what I'm going to do is in the upper right-hand corner is a button called Go to Today. I'm going to double tap on that with one finger.
Go to Today. Today, November 27th, 2017. Heading.
Now, you can set your rotor to headings and go down through the days of the week. I tend to do things the long way, so I don't always do that. But now that I'm on Today, I'm going to swipe to the right.
Reminders.
Okay, I have reminders.
Actions available. Day 331 of 2017. All day, day of the year.
It tells me what the Julian actions available day is today.
Sunny, with a high of 76F and a low of 55F. All day,
weather.
Training. Follow up with DR. Arian, 2:20 to 3:20 p.m. Buttercup.
Okay, so
actions
that,
available.
That is a personal appointment. As I said, Fantastical, you have the ability to schedule appointments on many different calendars. And Raul and I share a personal calendar for personal stuff. We have a couple of different business calendars depending on which clients we're working with. So when I'm scheduling appointments, depending on the appointment, that dictates what calendar I'm going to put it in.
And the calendar that has, or the entry right there that has the weather for the day and the Julian day of the year, those are added Google calendars that I have added into my Google account. And so Fantastical is reading those as all day events. And so we use those to get a quick daily forecast and also to find out what the day of the year is, which is something that we use for our business.
Watch The Good Doctor on ABC, 9:00 to 10 p.m. Buttercup.
We are busy people, as I mentioned earlier, and so we actually put time on the calendar where we can just kind of chill out and decompress from busy times. So we have a show that we like to watch, and so that entry's on here.
Tomorrow, November 28th, 2017.
Okay.
Heading.
So I can, as I mentioned, I can swipe through the days by setting my rotor to headings and going down that way. What I'm going to do now is to show how we can schedule an appointment. So I'm going to go to the upper right-hand part of the screen.
Day, Saturday, go to today, button, new event, okay. Button.
Right under go to today, there's a new event button. So I'm going to double tap new event.
New event, create event, text field, is editing, character mode, insertion point at start.
Okay, so right now, I am in an edit field where I can type the appointment or I can dictate the appointment. So I'm going to elect to dictate.
Dictate.
Christmas shopping with my sister tomorrow, 9 a.m. for 3 hours. Now I'm going to stop dictation with two finger double tap.
Create event. Christmas shopping with my sister tomorrow, 9 a.m. Christmas shopping with my sister, November 28th, 2017 at 9:00 a.m. to November 28th, 2017 at 12:00 p.m.
Okay, so I've dictated that appointment and I'm going to continue to swipe right.
Item type, event.
It's button. An event.
Show details.
I'm going to double tap on show details because I want to put some more details in about this. So I'm going to double tap.
Title. Text field.
So before you do that, it looks
like Christmas shopping with my sister.
It looks like what it did is it took what you said in context, you know, the context rather of what you said, and it looks like it filled in some of the information, right? So
yes.
You said what you want to call it, when this is happening, when it's starting, and for how long.
Yes.
And so by that, it basically, you almost, it's like you use real person to person language and it creates the event that way.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the strengths that Fantastical has.
Yes.
Location, text, title, text
okay,
field,
so I'm
is editing,
the title.
Christmas shopping with my sister, character mode, insertion, location, text
so
field.
There is a place for a location. So if I wanted to put in a location, I could do that. I'm going to go ahead and double tap this location.
Insertion point at end, dictate.
Baybrook Mall. And I stop dictation with two-finger double tap. I'm going to go and touch the screen.
Christmas shopping with my sister. Item type. Title. Location. Baybrook Mall. Okay. Text field.
Baybrook Mall. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to swipe right.
Set event location.
It says button. Set event location button. So I'm going to double tap that.
Set event search field.
Okay.
Search field.
So it has a search field.
Baybrook Mall. Clear text. Current location.
So it'll give me my current location.
Current location. Baybrook Mall. 500 Baybrook Mall. Houston. TX.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and double tap that. That gives me the address.
Selected. Baybrook Mall. Location. Christmas shopping with my sister. Back button.
Okay, then I'm going to go to the upper right-hand corner to the back button. I'm going to double tap.
Cancel button.
Okay, well, I'm looking at it.
It's upper
right. Create event. Christmas shopping with item type. Event. Title. Christmas shopping with my sister. Text field. Location. 500 Baybrook Mall, Houston, TX. Text field.
Okay, so it goes ahead and gives me the location.
Selected. Set event locate all day. Switch button. Starts Tuesday, November 28th, 2017. Ends 12 p.m.
And the starting time is 9 a.m. It ends at 12.
Time zone, Chicago.
Right button. Now we're in the central time zone, so that's defaulted to Chicago.
Repeat, never button. Okay. Invitees, none.
If I wanted button. To invite people, I could. And if they're in my contacts, then this would send the calendar invite to them.
Alert, none, button. Calendar, buttercup,
okay.
Button.
Right now, it's set for our personal calendar for buttercup. But let's say I wanted to change the title of this appointment. It was going to be meet with John Smith for training. Then I would switch the appointment to our training calendar. And so I would double tap on the buttercup calendar here.
Calendar, Christmas okay. Shopping with my sister, Vicky Doctor, shared by Raul Egallegos at gmail.com.
All of our calendars that we have access to. But I'm not going to change that, so I'm going to go.
Calendars, heading, Christmas shop, calendar, buttercup.
Okay, I'm going to go back.
Christmas shopping with my sister, back button, calendar, buttercup.
And then I'm
button.
Ready to add the appointment.
Title, Christmas, item type. Christmas shop, create event, add button.
So there's an add button. I'm going to double tap that.
Add settings button.
Okay.
So it looks like the add button acts as sort of like your
day, November 27th.
Save and exit.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to go and look at my calendar.
Go to today.
Go to today. Button. I'm going to double tap there.
Go to today. Today, November 27th, 2017. Heading.
So that tells me what, you know, today is.
Reminders. Day 331 of 2000. Sunny, follow up, Monday night, watch the good up, tomorrow, November
okay,
28th, 2017, heading, disable auto ships, day 332 of 2017, all day, day of the year, travel to Brian, 8:45 to 10:45 a.m., training at ourgets.com.
Okay, so that's a work,
actions available.
So that's a work-related appointment that we have scheduled, and so that is in our training calendar.
Christmas shopping with my sister, 500 Baybrook Mall, Houston, TX, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., okay. Buttercup.
So that is the...
Actions available.
That's the personal appointment that I added to go shopping. And that is Fantastical in a nutshell.
All right, so just a couple of other things about Fantastical so that we can kind of wrap it up is that it is a separate app for the iPad, so you would have to do a separate purchase if you buy it for iPhone compared to buying it for iPad. I think that for me personally, that's one of the only things I do not like about it because you have to make two separate purchases. But it is well worth it. I have it for both the iPad and iPhone. The other thing is if you make your initial appointment creation very detailed, you can pretty much do it so that you don't have to edit a lot of the things. So for example, if I have a meeting every third Saturday of the month from 11 to 1, when I put it in the calendar, I could say special meeting Saturday, whatever, or I don't even have to say Saturday. I can just say special meeting. What was the last one? November 18th. That's what I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I could say, like, let's say we're on November 14th or something. I could say special meeting November 18th, repeat every third Saturday of the month. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at, and if I say at, then I can specify a location or an address And so it takes the context of the word at as the location. So you can be as vague or as detailed as you want. And you can also use this for your reminders. So you can turn off your calendar notifications and your reminder notifications, and Fantastical will handle all of that.
The one thing that I will say about reminders is that, you know, Raul and I, we share a calendar, but our reminders, like if I put a reminder in, it's on my reminders. We don't have the same reminders. That's one thing that I don't really like about it. You know, we've managed to work with it, but that to me is kind of, you know, there have been some times where it would have helped if on either end for us to have reminded the other about something.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the user interface, where I don't think Google allows you to share reminders, but Apple does through iCloud. Like if you have a family reminder set, I believe that you can share that with people in your family, but I think it shares it with everybody. And so I don't think there's a quick solution for that. So for now, the solution is to share a calendar with people and put items in there as, you know, as entries, but those reminders will work as an individual thing.
The other thing, the last thing that, and I didn't mention this when we did the shopping entry,
screen
but
locked.
There is a place in each calendar entry for notes. So if we are scheduling an appointment and we maybe need, you know, what are we going to be working with a particular client on? In the notes of this particular appointment, we can put, you know, we're going to work on JAWS or we're going to work on iOS or we need to configure something. So it's a little quick way where you have everything in one place that you need.
All right. So I think that about concludes it for Fantastical. And
I think it's $4.99.
Well, actually, I think I saw it on sale for $2.99. So the price frequently does change. It does go on sale. I think the iPad version is $7.99, but the iPhone version is probably less than $5. And I don't really want to quote one right now just because of the fact that it could change.
It's well worth the money, though. It's definitely, it's in my top five favorite apps.
All right. So thank you for listening. And once again, Fantastical.
Did you know that you could call Santa for the holidays? Yep. You can do it with Google Home or the Amazon Echo. I'm going to do it here on Google Home, but I have a link in the show notes that has it for both. So you can do this on either device and you can call Santa. Let's see what happens. Hey, Google, call Santa.
Sure, here's call Santa.
Thank you for calling the North Pole. My name is Dipplesticks. Santa is in the recording studio. Please hold.
What? Oh, it's you. I just finished up the nice list. Good job, by the way. And I really need your help with something. It's about the music for the annual Elfstock Festival. It's kind of a big deal around here. Maybe you've seen our flyers? Anyway, we only know one song, but we can't decide how to play it.
Dubstep, Santa, dubstep.
I've talked to the elves about it.
A lot.
And they have many opinions.
Elfin rock.
Yes, well, I happen to know that you are a nice list kind of person who makes excellent choices. So, what do you say? You want to help me out?
Yes.
So, I have a few questions for you. Do you like music that makes you jump around like a monkey?
No.
Oh, I hear you. Sometimes I listen to Deck the Halls just for the lyrics. Try this question. What's your favorite thing up in the sky? The sun or the moon?
The moon.
Oh, my stars, yes. It's so much easier to fly on nights when the moon is full. Here's another one. Is it fun to hear loud, crashing sounds like in a thunderstorm? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Storms are exciting, especially when I'm way up high in my sleigh. Try this question. Which would you rather listen to, a fire truck or a sled?
A sled.
Oh, yes, they're so relaxing. That's why we have mandatory sledding breaks down at the workshop. Okay, I just have one more question. Which would make a better lead singer? A beeping robot or a talking bird?
Talking bird.
Oh, sure. I ask birds for directions all the time. Oh, exactly! Ho, ho, ho! Of course. The answer was right in front of me. I just needed to talk to you. Lemmy!
You scream, Santa.
Summon the members of Nog and plug in your amplifiers. Santa wants to rock. Jingle bells, time to yell, bang your head all day. Shred and scream, be extreme, it's a different kind of sleigh. Reindeer horns, lightning storms, fire in the place. Leaving coal is not my goal, but I got some just in case. Oh my goodness, Lemmy, that was heavy. Like my present bag. Thanks, everyone. Particularly to our caller for the help. I feel like I'm just getting warmed up. I'm ready for another one. Do you want to do that again?
No.
Well, thanks for your help. Call me again anytime if you want to talk about music.
Oh, he's off now. Thank you for calling the North Pole. Happy holidays. Goodbye.
So there you have it. That's the Google Home version. I imagine the Amazon Alexa version might be a little different. And you will get different answers if you call Santa multiple times. So if you are looking for something to do to kill a couple of minutes, see if your results match mine. That's all you have to do is tell the Google Home, without triggering it again, to call Santa, and that will activate it. Notes are there in case you are needing to know how to do that with the Alexa. All you have to do is go to blindbargains.com, head on over to podcast, and come down to the tip area for this particular episode.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Awesome. What an amazing tip. I love those tips.
I was stunned. And bewildered by the amazingness of that tip, whatever it was.
Send us your tip ideas, of course, feedback at blindbargains.com. We have lots of email, considering that we haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, a regular show at least. Do we start with that?
Mincemeat.
What the hell is mincemeat?
Mincemeat.
What?
You got my back. There you go.
I've never even heard of this crap.
Don't dislike pumpkin. I have a pumpkin pie upstairs.
For me, the debate was pumpkin versus sweet potato. I don't even know what this mincemeat crap is.
Ew, what? Ew, sweet potato pie. What? Ew.
I don't know. If you bring a mincemeat pie to my house.
You probably enjoyed that thing I was actually totally tweeting about the Thanksgiving pizza on sweet potato crust.
I'm enjoying this. I'm good. No. I'm going to stick with the Soylent.
What about the tweet I had about the turkey calzone where you take your leftover Thanksgiving and you put it in a giant calzone?
Yeah, no, that would work. Why not? Sure. It's just.
Yeah, sure. It's just, lots of cheese.
I mean, calzone is just another bread. Vehicle. We had a little guest blog post from Alex Hall, and turns out we have some people that don't agree and do agree with that, which is the point of these things, which is awesome. Alex was talking a couple weeks ago about the iPhone 10 and Apple creating devices for the mass market, and some of their great opinions on that. You can go back and read that. Who's this one? Bargain Hound starts this out, right?
Yep, right. And a lot of conversations kind of sort of fit around the same ideas about what Alex was saying and what has to happen in order for it to be more accessible to the blind. I think in a lot of the comments that we're going to sort of walk over here in these emails, as well as those that Alex and I have already brought to the table, I think we can acknowledge that, yes, Apple makes a lot of iPhones, and yes, they're made for the mainstream. However, it's not like there are a lot of choices now in phones in general, not just accessible phones, right? But phones in general. It's going to be with the death of Windows Phone, you have iOS and you have, Android. So for some people, Android is a line that they won't cross. So therefore, there are no options. And if you have been an assistive technology maker, not just blindness, let's open this up to communications, alternative communication ports, those who are having to do issues with multiple disabilities that might be related to a physical disability. you may have already dropped a couple of thousand around an iPhone, because the iPhone has been the iPhone has been the iPhone. So when you change it so radically, like you do with the iPhone 10, then that actually sort of makes people have to make a big decision, because eventually that iPhone will just get kicked off the side of the road on support, and the iPhone will get slower and slower and slower over time.
Yeah.
And that's where I was coming from in the conversations about this. Some people have kind of sort of said the same thing, that they'll just hold back or they'll keep getting older phones. And as I told JJ a couple of months ago, Ricky and I chose the 8 because if there's not a 9, well, this gave us one more year with the phones that we feel comfortable with, especially for testing. Now, with that said, the bloom has come off the rose a little, and a lot of mainstream people have started to write a little bit more critically about iPhone X.
Yeah, you're always going to find that, though. I mean, come on. I can find you a critical article on any product out there. The 10's going to mean, you know, there's going to be some kinks, but there was, I'm sure, a lot of kinks with the iPhone 1. Remember, there was kinks with the iPhone 3GS and accessibility. There was no touch typing. So, you know, Apple knows that, you know, people that have bought the iPhone 10. Yes, we know it's 10, not X. We just like saying X for whoever was saying, "Oh, you guys don't," or whatever. The iPhone 10, it's kind of a live beta test, and Apple knows this, and they're going to refine things next year. And the iPhone 11 or 10S or XS or whatever they want to call it, it's going to
They're going to call it. But there's a rumor going around that there is going to be another SE next year. And that probably will hold the classic style of phone. So for those of you who are 4-inch screen fans, that might necessarily be the phone you want.
Headphone jack.
Or as Harry Brown here says, the iPhone is still kind of good for those who have neuropathy. I think my contention was, again, in that respect, was Johnny Ive said that they could reinvent the UI anytime they wanted with less physical buttons. And so, and this turned into a conversation on Twitter we had with Ali Musa and a few others, Michael Doyce, that, you know, when you train somebody from A to B to C, whose responsibility is it, you know, to kind of sort of keep up with things? Is it the trainer? Is it the student? Do you train the student to be self-discovering and pick up where the ball
Some students will be better in it than others at self-discovery. Yeah,
and some trainers are better than others, depending how, if they get caught in a rut. Yeah. And they don't listen to their student and train to the student. They just train what they know. They know, and then they don't. It gets into the conversation we had about hitting WinR and finding out about Windows versions. There are certain learning styles that come into play, and there's certain shortcuts. And sometimes as a trainer, I say this as being one who used to test trainers, your own personal bias, you have to stop that. One of the questions we used to give at the state of Texas required you, it was kind of like the train leaves Chicago and another train leaves New York. And we would never really give a fill in the blank answer that you could answer with two words. You had to give a process. And even if that process was 42 steps, if it got the question answered correctly, it was right. Because there's never in Windows, there's never more than, you know, just one way to do something. There's almost always 3 or 5 ways to do things. So that is an interesting question. We'll see. That's why you got to have books like iOS Access for All and others, so you can keep up to date on what's going on with iOS, because Shelley knows that pretty well. And I always learn something from reading Shelley's work, because it's like, wow, I didn't know you could get to it through that. Or I could tell Siri invert colors rather than go into settings or something like that. So I think you're right. I think there's a lot of learning still to come. I just know that we have the option not to, so I didn't.
I was chuckling when you mentioned Harry Brown.
There's efficiency,
yeah,
right?
Sure. I was chuckling when you mentioned Harry Brown's name, because he says, "I totally disagree with Alex Hall's post," to which I'm thinking, "I totally disagree with your post that disagrees with Alex's post," because he makes some assertions that are, I think, are totally wrong, at least in my opinion. Says, "I don't know a blind person anywhere who can just walk up to a touchscreen device and just tap on an icon without sliding their finger on the screen." Well, I mean, I do this all the time. And, you know, many people, if you got to think of an iPhone as more of just, if all you do is go up to the thing and start swipe, 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 and you never explore by touch or move your finger around the screen to figure out where stuff actually is, then yes, you will be an inefficient touch screen user. But I understand the basic layout of screens, and a lot of other users do too. So just because, Harry, you say that you can't do it, that doesn't become all blind people. I'm sorry that it isn't working out for you, or you weren't able to to make it efficient in your situation. But, you know, that doesn't mean it's everyone. And that's...
Well, and some people might not like the screen protectors or the overlays.
Yeah, it's not for everyone.
Training overlays.
No, and I get right. This touchscreen is, you know, it may not be for this particular person.
And
but,
that's
know.
Why Nokia is making button phones all over again, is there's a certain style of people who are style of user. And again, I come back to what I was saying that started this ball rolling, is that if I want a phone that looks and feels like Android, then I will want to use my Android phone. It is confusing for me to have to drive on the wrong side of the road with what I've learned. And I'm comfortable, you know, with the home button. I'm comfortable being a Luddite in this situation. That's okay. And I think that's important for us to be able to say that. What I think shaming on either side, shaming those who wish to stay in the classic Apple land is bad. I think shaming iPhone X is bad. I just know for me, after holding that phone and seeing the keyboard come up and you got that huge space at the bottom where the home indicator is and all of that, it just was not what I was hoping for and not necessarily something that I have to get. I mean, I got an 8. I'm good. And that's the funny thing is that people who wanted or people who have blocked me in the past, which is really funny on Twitter, for being an Apple basher, tend to forget that I've had Apple products for a long time. It's, you know, there's always been some form of Apple. And because to yell about it on this podcast, JJ and I both feel very strongly you need to own it or at least have it or have access to it so you can verify that, yeah, I don't like lima beans. I'm sorry. Maybe you do. I have some here. I don't like them, you know, and that's what I didn't say anything about iPhone X critically until I held it, until I went and looked at it. And it was just like, no, this is not a thing for me. So there were also some conversations about things that run on Apple. Some people had some strong both for and against feelings about blindfold games. Lydia, who agrees with JJ about pumpkin pie, so there you go.
No, I've never had it with hot. I've never had it with a hot chocolate though. That's a very interesting idea.
How about a hot chocolate Oreo? Those are
She's very happy. No. Yeah, okay, but yeah, definitely yeah, very happy that the blindfold games are back. Blindfold yep. Clues is her recommendation for one to try out.
And then Kevin,
I'm not dealing with that one. You can.
Kevin Perry, who always has some very strong opinions about things, thank you, Kevin, has an opinion about what's going on with blindfold games and some issues that he had had with Marty in the past and some of the fixes that he had asked for. And then his question about, his statement about having to get something kind of reinstated is worth a read, definitely at blindbargains.com and in the show notes for episode 125. I'd like to say that Kevin was alone in these feelings. He was not. I had several people DM me privately, so I won't mention their names here, but I had more than two, so that makes it a thing in my mind because we're getting to the rule of three. People DM me to say that they were uncomfortable with the way that Marty markets his games, and some people felt like he was spammy, to use one phrase that was said to me when we were getting comments when this was all going on.
That's what game developers do, though. I mean, that's how you...
I agree. I don't, how do you raise your, and this is something I've talked about with Liam, how do you get people to know your game in an app store that has hundreds and hundreds? And this was what Marty was even getting to when you interviewed him, was he felt like he would get buried if he combined his apps into a collection. So there's no right answer here, unfortunately, because I kind of side with Apple with why they did what they did. And I understand what happened to Marty, and I feel awful. It goes both ways.
Doesn't make
what
no,
I will it say would, is
it was a misapplied rule.
To avoid this, rate Marty's apps. If you feel strongly about what Marty is doing, rate.
Unless
his
you're
apps
Kevin, in which case, don't rate.
Yeah. Unless you're Kevin, or rate it and put a zero there for whatever reason. I mean, feel strongly because here's the thing: if you have to go before Apple. And I can say this as someone who's done development. If you have to go before Apple and you have to go before a review, they read all that. You know, don't let an algorithm dictate what happened. And that's what started this ball rolling, was an algorithm. And then a physical person has to actually go back and read all that stuff. So if you're rating an app, if you're reviewing an app, if you're providing that information, then whoever's doing the review has an opportunity to weigh all that in to see that you're not just some spam bot. And that's kind of important too. Not only that, it gives Marty wonderful visibility because it pushes that app higher up in the way that others search the app store. So if you really truly believe in not just Marty's app, anybody's app, our app, whoever's app, rate, review, and support. That could avoid a lot of things. I'm not saying it would have avoided this situation, but it would have given Marty a lot more footing without having to come to the public as dire as he did.
Kevin, I'm staying away from you, but game developers get a lot of emails, and to complain that someone didn't fix your reported bug in 1 out of 80 games after a couple... Shut up.
That is feedback at blindbargains.com.
It comes off as whiny and ungrateful. I'm sorry. I'm not saying everyone has to like Marty's games. I have not bought any of Marty's games. Not because I don't like them. It's just not the type of platform that I wish to play games on. You know?
Right. And that happens too. There's some people who are diehard PC gamers who give me crap.
And that's, yeah, I would much rather do a PC game. Right? That's where I'm at. I'm a PC guy.
And that's okay.
You know?
There is an audience for everything, as we have proven over 124 episodes of this very program.
I said I wasn't going to touch that email. I couldn't do it.
So, in the last word, what did you have for your Thanksgiving dinner, JJ? Did it involve turkey?
No mincemeat.
Did it involve Pringles?
No. Should I have?
No.
Wait.
It should, because if you look at this link that I have here in the last word, you could have had an 8-course Pringles Thanksgiving meal.
Are these like special flavors? Are these like the regular Pringles flavors?
Well, they're flavors that are very festive.
Oh, really? Like turkey Pringles?
Uh-huh. Pumpkin pie with whipped cream on top, you know? Okay.
Macaroni and cheese Pringles? Now, that could be interesting. Green bean casserole Pringles? I don't know.
Yes. Bean casserole.
Green bean casserole. No.
The cranberry sauce Pringle?
That would have a shot because it could be kind of fruity. They actually made these?
Yeah. This is a thing that's listed in Kotaku.
I would try mac and cheese. I would try pumpkin pie. Right. And I would try cranberry. The other ones, I guess mashed potato could work because that's potatoes already potato.
Well, it's like a hop, skip, and a jump from right. A potato chip. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. No, that
the other is turkey and stuff.
You would have to pair these with the right Jones soda in case you have never seen. I'll have to put a link. Remember, sure. Jones soda has the Thanksgiving flavors like cranberry soda or turkey and gravy soda. I probably just made some people really sick right then. And so those would probably, you know, it'd be like a wine pairing. You would pair that chip with that soda. It would go just perfectly. Kotaku does a lot of interesting links, mostly about food in Japan, which is really interesting. One of the reasons they're a video game site, so this is why I read them. But the other one that I'll have to put here is someone did a fried turkey with hot Cheetos, the hot flaming Cheeto, flaming hot Cheeto turkey. So it like went around it like a coating.
Well, that's
No. I've had flash fried turkey. That's actually pretty good.
I'd try that. I would try that.
No, it's turkey. It's just flash fried. It's just
okay.
Fried turkey actually is pretty good. I'm not sure. Gar squashroom, which is something Ricky had talked about doing, which is mushroom stuffed in squash, stuffed in a giant garlic, or you stuff the garlic and the mushroom into the squash. But it was like a vegetable version of the turducken.
Why do you say stuff? Is that a reference to something, or is that just...
God, no. That was purely accidental, and the fact that I probably need to drink more of this Coke that's right over here.
Would you like some Soylent, people?
The generic taste of Coke. All right. What do you have?
I can give you some Soylent. No Soylent people? All right, fine.
No. No. I saw the movie.
I don't know. It's a travel link. It's not food. It's not cats. It's not anything.
Oh.
No, it's referring. Okay. It's a link from Australia referring to those things that you might hear them say, the pilots say on the plane, what that really means. It's really interesting to me because, things that you hear, you know, some of them are pretty simple. Like if they say, flight attendants report to all call, that pretty much says, go to your intercom, we're going to have a meeting. Okay, that's great.
Okay, I've actually heard that one.
The one you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, crap.
Well, okay, you really don't want to hear 7,500. Well, the one you really don't want to hear is 7,500, because that means a hijacking. That's very unlikely.
Right, okay.
The other one you don't want to hear that I have heard a couple of times, if you ever hear the pilot, you're about ready to take off, and they say, oh, we're just doing some last-minute paperwork.
Yes.
Usually a little more than paperwork.
Paperwork? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
In other words, they're redoing the flight plan, or they're trying to fix the plane's weight and balance, or they're trying, it could be something simple, but that is definitely not the...
I like that you give this to me knowing that I'm about to fly. Once, but twice.
I mean, just informing you.
And I love flying. You just, that's one of the things that I hold on Earth as my top 10 least favorite things to do.
If you hear cross-check randomly, it means the emergency slides have been deactivated. They need to go fix them.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. Oh, you want to stop?
What about one down, three to go? Does that mean one of the engines has fallen off and I'm just waiting for the other three?
Well, luckily, I haven't heard that one yet. Oh, okay. So you watch out in case you experience any rough air.
I am appreciative of this now. Did you ever used to pay attention to the animal that was on the Frontier flights? Did you ever fly Frontier and they would tell you what their mascot was?
No, I never flew Frontier.
See, when you flew Frontier, they would tell you about the mascot that was painted on the tail of the aircraft.
I flew Frontier before they were Frontier, and they were Midwest Express, and they give you warm chocolate chip cookies on every flight.
Oh, dude. Like Doubletree?
Kind of. Yeah, pretty much. Like them. They're good. And that was one of the things when Frontier decided to buy them out and go to ultra-cheap Spirit-style airline mode. Course. The cookies were one of the casualties of that decision. Oh,
that was your signature. How could you do that? It's like Southwest not having peanuts to throw at you.
Because hey, you can still get your Biscoff cookies on Delta and American now. So, hey.
I always thought that the Delta cookies were interesting because it was a plane on its profile rather than a plane with the two wings. I guess they didn't want you to think about the plane breaking a wing as a cookie.
And they say Delta on the cookie.
Yep, that's true.
In raised print.
Raised letters.
Delta. The American ones do not say American.
I always find it very interesting when you can actually read your pastry. It's very, very good to know that.
Yeah, technically spending too much time.
Did I mention I have pumpkin pie upstairs? I got pumpkin pie, some apple. Good. Ricky made this amazing
real pies. Bread. Real pies. Good job.
Real physical, honest to goodness in a pie tin pie. No Hostess fruit pies.
Okay, that's good. Oh, Hostess, we have
go put some Pringles on top of that.
Speaking of Hostess, so I'm
next week.
We're gonna have fun. We're gonna have a lot of fun next week. Joe's gone. I'm excited for this one. Mm. It's gonna be our best show ever, and. Just stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. And 126, I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but it's going to be a really cool time. So definitely be on the lookout for that one. Looks like I'm going to be on the road again,
I think, for Patrick.
And I'm sure Patrick's ready for it.
And then we hadn't really talked about whether there's a 127 before the end of the year or not.
I thought there's two more. Yeah.
Is there two more?
Doing the math, I think
127 and 128.
I think so. Doing the math, right?
Not math.
I'm not checking with you. You're the one that thought that 20 shows ago was a year ago.
Correct.
We've done 3 years.
Time flies.
We've done 3 years and about a little over 40 regular weeks a year. So we do about as many as
take some off
the late night comedians. They take about 10 weeks off. So
that's correct. It's gonna do one of those hiatus shows. All right, cool. So we'll have that to look forward to before we take some time off and then come back with this year in assistive technology 2017. Yep. I could just assume that, by the way.
Did you?
Patrick, who says he actually has 3 volumes of outtakes this year.
Oh, gosh. They're just going to be released all through January?
That's right. We could just do that. Unlike years past, have enough material to keep Patrick.
Coverage because there won't be anything going on there.
I know there's a convention coverage one in there for sure from me. 2017, what was the biggest story? Was it seeing AI? Was it VFO buying more things? Was it, I don't know, the Braille Note Touch? Was it the return of hymns in the Polaris?
Braille Note Touch was 2016.
I know. I'm just seeing if the listeners are catching up at home. One of those little...
Oh, I see.
That was a trick. That was like the C choice. You don't always take the C choice on the SAT.
None of the above.
Right. Correct.
The Orbit Reader 20 was released in 2017 to about 50 people.
Could it be the Orbit? There's a Mystic Access tutorial coming out from.
We have sold a couple Orbit Reader 20 executive cases. They're now on atguys.com. So a couple people have them, or they just bought the case.
Man. Is to that ready like for- you wake up on Christmas morning and you get the case, but nothing to put in it? Oh,
yeah, right. I'm not sure if these people already had Orbit Reader 20s or if they're just buying cases to be ready for it. I'm not sure, but you can.
It's like, let's all those make type a of- deal. Do you want what's in the box, or do you want what's behind the curtain? It's one of those moments.
Exactly.
Let us know what you think the big story should be. We're always interested in hearing what you have to say before the BBQ crew takes a swipe at the big stories of 2017. Let us know. Feedback at blindbargains.com. If you are going to miss me while I'm gone, as JJ will, especially my Twitter feed.
Did you schedule tweets?
Feel free to go back over old posts until I post more stuff to annoy JJ at twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. A certain Christmas special's coming up, JJ. Certain Christmas special's coming. It's like a free Christmas gift for the world from the BBC.
I don't even know what he's talking about. You can go twitter.com/blindbargains.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, that thing. No, I really didn't. I really didn't.
I didn't even have to say it this time.
I really didn't. No, because that's how much I care. Twitter.com/blindbargains. Lots of interesting conversations going on there all the time about, and lots of deals as well. So definitely follow us for the latest deals and things. And of course, you can email us, like you said, feedback@blindbargains.com, or post on our website at blindbargains.com. Get the apps, and you can certainly subscribe to our podcast. That's the best way to stay up to date with the latest episodes, is whether you're on iTunes or whether you're on Podcast Addict, or whatever, you know, whichever one.
Oh, yeah, that one, right?
Yeah.
Do the Amazon skill? No, we hadn't done that yet. I know some people are doing Amazon skills.
No, we have no Amazon, but we're on TuneIn.
But you can ask Amazon.
You can ask Amazon or your Google Home. You usually just have to say, listen to Blind Bargains Podcast, because we spell cast weirdly, and that kind of makes things a little weird, so... That's the best way to pull it up on your
Not
Echo.
Our fault. That was Alex Hall. Yep.
Okay.
It was good marketing. It's always worked out. Yeah. Hey, I didn't name the show. The listeners named
the show. That was
a
contest.
Or a listener named the show. That's true.
We
got some wonderful gifts for the family, which are technology related. So I've got at least two technical reviews coming in 2018 through the gifts of others, the podcast that keeps on giving. So we'll have more stuff to talk about then, and all sorts of fun stuff. If you have some neat Christmas gifts and you're listening to this show a little later, maybe you're doing a big marathon run, let us know what you got. Send it on through at Blind Bargains on Twitter, or feedback@blindbargains, or leave us a comment. I do read them over there at the show notes for 125.
Thanks to Raul Gallegos for doing a review. Really appreciate that. Always cool to have listener contributions. And thanks to Patrick as well for dealing with our
And thanks to Shelly next week
schedule.
Because Ricky and I will be on a boat. I won't start quoting The Lonely Island here. On a
See,
boat.
I had hinted and I wasn't going to say, but now you let the cat out of the bag. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
That, on a boat.
I went all
around
that.
There's a censored version. Yes, you did. And so they were going to be there. Carnival. I'll be able to tell you about, there's a Carnival app, which you actually can connect to through the Carnival Wi-Fi on the boat, that hopefully will have stuff being able to be read in voiceover and or talk back with the menus and stuff. I'm looking forward. I have a friend actually going on a Royal Caribbean cruise. I'm looking forward to kind of comparing notes. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to do it, folks. Have a fun week off, Joe, and you know, maybe you'll have your spot back when you come back. You know how that goes. And
hey, if I was going to get replaced by anybody, it should be Shelly Brisbane. Hey, yeah, ain't no lie there. That woman does a lot of podcasting.
Yeah, she does. And lucky we have found enough time for her to do one next week. So there you go. Thanks so much for listening, folks. We will see you next time.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.